This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Welcome. Tonight is the final session of our end time series. I think it's about 12 sessions, okay? But I try to finish by 9 or 9:10 because we are on the, today is the what? Third day of our 10-day fast, because next Friday will be on our 10th anniversary. We are pressing in for God's grace, so we want to spend the last half an hour or 20 minutes. Just want to share a little bit about some of our history that God has for us. Then we're going to just spend 10, 15 minutes to pray, okay? Okay, this is our final session of our end time series, kind of fast. We started in June. It's kind of, I thought, wow, it's going to be a long time. It's kind of over, okay? Today's our final session, the 12th session. We're going to talk about who is Jesus, okay, at his second coming, because I believe this is probably one of the most important session. Probably to me is the most important, because who is Jesus? What else can be more important than that? Okay, that's why I want to end by talking about this, because we got to have a right perspective. End time is more than just a series of events. No, that's where a lot of times people have no interest or no understanding, or in, to a certain extent, some people hate this subject because it's always about a series of events. Yes, there's always a series of events, but the series of events is the result of a returning of a person. That's why we've got to get it right. It's about the return of the person. It's about the return of Jesus. And before that, there are many events that is going to happen called end time, because there's going to be a transition. Because a man, son of God, his name is Jesus, is about to return. And when he returns, he has a purpose. He has a plan. And he's looking for something. That's why we need to understand, so that we can agree with him, we can partner with him, and we can push back every resistance, okay? Whether it's from Satan, Antichrist, or evil people, or whatever, even our own heart. That's why this is so, so vital. It's more than just a series of events. It's about a returning of a person. When he returns, he has a purpose, he has a plan, he's looking for something. He's looking for his bride to partner with him. That's why this is probably most important. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I say it many times, okay? I believe the fundamental issue and the foundational questions for the end time church. I believe we are living in the end time. I mean, again, over this 12 series, I keep saying, I don't know, is it 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? No one can be certain. But we are very likely to be the generation that Jesus is returning. If I miss it, okay, people like Joey, William, okay, he looks so fierce, okay, people like William, people like Joey, Joel, Joshua, even the Joel, the old one, okay, could just weakness. That's not that old, lah. I'm sorry. I'm so much older. Okay, if you go by Chinese cycle, you know, Chinese, you go by 12 years, right? I'm 2 cycles older than Joel, okay? Yeah, right. 24 years younger than you. Okay, never mind. Okay, why am I into this? Yeah, we are, and this will be the most fundamental issue, most foundational questions. The question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's why Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 is probably the most important questions, the most fundamental issue at the end of the age. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? No, the issue is not whether you like him or not. Do you know who is he? Because we can like a wrong person, or we have a wrong idea about this person. The fundamental issue, the foundational question at the end of the age, first for the church, is who is Jesus? The early apostles were being asked these profound and vital questions in Matthew 16, verse 15. I'm going to run through briefly, okay? I have no time because it's a huge 6 verses. But in Matthew chapter 16, Verse 15, the early apostle will ask this profound and vital question. Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And correct revelation and the correct... No, this is not just, you know, do PSLE or O-level, you know, you got it right, you know, you get A or whatever. No, you got to have the encounter and the reality of who he is in your heart and in your spirit. And the correct revelation and the correct understanding will be the key to the rise of the mature and the victorious church called the Bride of Christ. And we will partner with the Lord until he returned. Okay, turn to me to Matthew 16, because I've run through briefly. Okay, I have no time. Okay, because likewise, just as the early apostles, the Holy Spirit, no, Jesus is going to appear and ask everybody a question, but the Holy Spirit is going to ask the same questions to the end time church. That's why we do the call. You know, some people ask me, you know, the call, is it about for a non-believer? No. This is not about Jesus who is the way to salvation and so on. This is about church. Do we know who this Jesus is when he is about to return? That we need to know. No, again, it's not just about knowledge. That's why we pray very hard. The night session especially, I'm trusting that the Lord will show up. No, I don't know how he's going to show up. I mean, if he appears, that's even better. You know, then Matt and myself can take a break. You know, I mean, if Jesus show up, who is there to talk, man? I will be there. Hey, wow. You know, like, tell me more, Jesus. And I'm just kidding. Whatever. I'm believing that God is going to show up. Okay, he's going to show up and encounter us. And one of the things I pray is that his eyes will be like a flame of fire. His right hand holds the seven stars that will touch our heart. But that this is the same questions that the Holy Spirit is going to ask the end time church. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? A correct revelation is the same. Correct revelation is vital for the rise of the mature bride at the end of the age. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, when they give the inverted comma correct answer, so-called, a keys were given to the early church. It talks about authority. It talks about being victorious. A key was given. You know, traditionally, I'll run through this and I'll tell you why. Similarly, at the end of the age, if we understand, our heart connect with Jesus as the bridegroom, king, and judge. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, the Lord will give us the key of David. The key of David. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 9, they talk about a key where we will lose or bow. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, talk about the key of David. If we open the door, no one can shut. We shut the door, no one can open. It's the same, no, much higher authority and much higher maturity and victory that the church will experience in the last day, because we are going to arise as the mature bride of Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Let me just run through briefly. Matthew chapter 16. That's why I'm excited about the call. I say, wow, I love this. You know, about who is Jesus? You know, yeah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I tell you, this is not the main question, but this is a powerful question, because there will be all kinds of view and teaching about Jesus at the end of the age. Partial view, incorrect view, humanistic view. Because one of the major battlefront at the end of the age is this issue of the truth about who Jesus is. There will be all kinds. It's happening right now. In U.S., there are all kinds of teaching about Jesus that's not according to the truth of God. All kinds of versions. We have to have a correct version. No, correct version is not about just head knowledge, but our heart has to connect so that we can agree with him, we love him, we understand his heart, we will partner with him. Out of that, there'll be all kind of you. That's why it's such a powerful question that Jesus, what do men say? It's like, no, what does the word say about me? Even the Church of Jesus Christ say about me. the disciple answer, verse 14. So they say, some say John the Baptist, which is partially true. No, Jesus does, in a way, fulfill certain dimension of the ministry of John the Baptist. But no, he's not John the Baptist. Then, of course, they talk about some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Yes, he does fulfill partially some of the role of this prophet, but it's more than Elijah. It's more than John the Baptist. It's more than Jeremiah. It's more than the prophets. He's much more. So verse 15, he asks a powerful question, fundamental issue at the end of the age. He said to the disciples, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? I believe this is going to be a vital question that the Lord, through the Spirit of the living God, is going to ask the end time church. Who do you say Jesus is? So that one more time, the spotlight will be turned in the church. The spotlight will be one more time turned upon the Lord. Jesus is going to take the center stage of the church one more time. You know, I know, people always tell me, but of course, isn't Jesus is at the center stage? If you are honest with it, we talk very little about who Jesus is in the church of Jesus Christ. We talk about his power, we talk about his way to salvation, but who he is, we actually understand very little because we talk very little. I'm not going to elaborate because I can preach a message on that. Let's move on. Okay, that's why Simon Peter answered. Okay, again, this is huge. I just want to say quickly. He got it right. He got it right. Okay. Simon, verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living. It's huge. Okay, I'm not going to build on it because I have no time. Verse 17. Jesus answers, let me see, answered correctly. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. What a powerful statement. Because the fact that you know who I am, you are blessed, Simon. You are blessed. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Of course, in more than just studying the Bible, you need the revelation from heaven. Okay. Verse 18. That's why Jesus said, this, as the result of knowing who Jesus is, a victorious and the powerful church and the mature church arise. Okay, Jesus said this. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Circle the word rock if you want to. I know traditionally many places teach us that this rock is Peter. No, go and study carefully. What Jesus is saying that just as the early church has to build on the rock of the truth of who Jesus is, likewise, the end time church has to build on the rock of truth of who Jesus is. If you build on the rock of the truth of who Jesus is, you will arise with authority, victorious, and power. You will push back the power of darkness, whether it's individually or corporately. Because authority and power and victory and maturity is built upon the foundation that we know who Jesus is. You know, I think all these are important, but unfortunately, we spend more time trying to go to conference and so on, try to learn about power and authority. We miss the fact that true power and authority comes from when we know the rock of this truth of who Jesus is. That's why the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is going to bring the church back to the focus again of this reality of who Jesus is when he comes back again. Let me just finish. Okay. Just finish. Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church. This rock is referring to the truth of who Jesus is. He's referring to Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Who do you say that I am? And as a result, you know what's the result? Result is the church will have victory. That's why he said this. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We will have victory. And more than victory, we will have authority and power through prayer and through our life. Okay, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be lose in heaven. Likewise, for the end time church, if we know who is Jesus when he returned the second time, the Lord is going to give us the key of David, which is Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. This one is very better. This one is only close, by, close, and so on. Key of David is we open, no one can shut. We shut, no one can open. Yeah, kind of like lost it, never eat. So, it's just similar. Okay, turn to me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. I say that knowing who Jesus is, the truth about who Jesus is will be the major battlefront at the end of the age. It will be. Why? You know, again, I say, I'm just reiterating because this is crucial. Because Jesus will only return in the context of the mature bride. He will only return in the context of the mature bride. That's why Revelation 19 is so vital, because Revelation 19, 21 verses is a huge chapter, loaded. One of the most important, vital, and essential passage of Scripture. There are many. One that will empower us and equip us in really understanding who Jesus is when he returns. Because Jesus will only return in the context of a mature bride, who fully understand who he is, who fully agree with what it is in his heart and in his plan. Because the number one issue before Jesus returns is we need to agree with him with judgment. I'll run through with you briefly, Revelation 19. We have to fully understand who he is, fully agree with what is in his heart and in his plan. Say, yeah, that's easy. No, it's not easy. We read Revelation 19 where it talks about judgment on nations. And of course, the third one, fully long and fully yearned for his return. Turn with me to Revelation 19. Okay, Revelation 19. Clearest picture, okay, verse 1 to 10. Clearest picture of a mature bride in the entire Bible. No, in the all over 66 books, the bride of Christ is being mentioned many times. But this 10 verses is the clearest picture of what it means to be a mature bride, all centered around the issue of their understanding of who Jesus is. That's why we become mature. Mature is not just, no, we don't sin and whatever. No, I mean, that is one of it, but we don't sin is as a result of we knowing who Jesus is, because he is a greater pleasure than the pleasure of the sins of the world. That is the result of Revelation. It's the clearest picture of a mature bride, all centered around the issue of who Jesus is. Verse 1 to 3. Let me just read quickly. Verse 1 to 3. She has become mature. She fully agrees with his judgment. Basically, she understands Jesus as judge. Yes! Hallelujah! True and righteous are your judgment. I mean, right now, I don't think I'm even near. Because she fully understands his judgment. Or rather, fully agree with his judgment. She will understand Jesus as judge. Let me just read verse 1 to 3. After this thing, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, talking about the mature bride, a picture of the mature bride, saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Talking about Jesus coming, agreeing, this number one issue. Okay. Verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgment. She fully agree. I agree. I agree with the judgment you are saying, sending. The seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. I agree. And in this context, I agree that you totally crushed this city called the city of Babylon. I agree. In fact, not just temporal or judgment in this age, forever, in eternity. Verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgment, because he has judged a great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. No, you gotta understand, the whole city was totally crushed. Everybody in the city was totally killed You're going to read Revelation chapter 18. That's why before the judgment came, the voice of God shouted, come out of her, because there are people of God who is there. God is saying, come out of her before judgment is being released. So, Calvin, take note of that verse. So, right time, please come out. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, the first, fully agree. Fully agree. It's all centered around the issue of who Jesus is. Second, turn with me to verse 6, Revelation 19. There will come a time the church will be mature and will fully surrender and yield to his kingship. When we fully understand him as the king. I'll explain to you, give you some definition later, what it means to be Jesus as a bridegroom, Jesus as a king, and Jesus as a judge. Go to verse 6. Fully surrender and yield to his kingship. She will understand him as the king who is returning. Okay. Verse 6 says this. I love this verse. You know? That's why this one of the verses I always pray for prophetic singer. Sounds like many water, sounds like mightily thundering. Not that y'all sing loud, no. Please, this is not about singing loud. This is about prophetic word of God come forth. It's the same as what God is speaking. Okay. Verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of the great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reign. It's like, we fully surrender. We fully yield. Now, there aren't many who fully surrender to God with all your life. That's how, you know, last time I used to have a joke. I don't know whether you remember when we were in the campus ministry. You know, we sing this song, I surrender. Oh, I say, no, we can't sing that. We say, I surrender some. Because none of us can honestly say or truthfully say we surrender all to Jesus right now. None. None of us. Maybe very few on this earth, but none. I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry if I judge you. But that, please come and tell me I have surrendered all. Then I apologize. I wash your feet right now and whatever. But none. I can confidently say so. None. I just give you one example. Have you emptied your bank account to the Lord? Okay, never mind. Let's move on. Okay. None. But there will come a time. There will be a church fully surrender to the Lord because we fully understand he is our king. Of course, he's a good king. No, he's not a dictator and so on. He's a good king. He's not Stalin. He's not Hitler. He's not, Kim Jong-il. He's a good king. We will surrender it all. All centered around this issue of who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Third one, verse 7. We will fully long for him to return because we understand him as our bridegroom. We will understand him as our bridegroom. Verse 7 says this. Let us be glad and rejoice. I mean, this tree is powerful. I'm not going to dwell on it because I can dwell forever. It's a tree of emotions of the mature bride. Let us be glad, rejoice, give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. Fully long, fully yearn for the return of Jesus. Because we understand that, oh, he's more than just our Savior. He's more than just our Lord. He's more than just our Master. He's more than just our King. He's our bridegroom that we are going to, in very common, marry forever and ever. Amen. Do you know that? No, we all know. If you are Bible-abiding Christians, marriage covenant is till death do us part. This one will not end one. Because Jesus will never die. And in eternity, we will never die too. Wow. If real, you know, every time we have fairy tale story, you know, they shall live happily ever after. There's only one reality that's here. Revelation 19, verse 7. We will be forever married to him. If we understand him as a bride, you know, right now we have no greed of death. Jesus coming back. You know, I remember I used to play this song and sing, there is going to be a wedding. It's the, is the reason that I'm leaving for my wedding day. You know, most guys say, is this guy straight or not or whatever? Yeah, no, because we don't understand the pleasure, the longing, because we have not had that revelation. That's why it's so crucial. Because right now, Jesus, inverted comma, can't come back in the sense because we resist him. Jesus will not come back until the church cry out in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, which I taught 2 weeks ago. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. This is not a defeated one. No, it's like, tomorrow is my A-level. No, I think I'm not going to pass. I say, Jesus, please come back. That's what I did. I wasn't even saved yet because I was in the mission school. So I understand a little bit of that. This second coming, maybe because of that, and say, okay, now I mark you. You become. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. And then, oh, Jesus, please come back. Please come back. So that I skip my A-level because I'm going to pass. No, you will come back for a victorious, mature bride. And longing for the return. If not, he will not. That's why it's so vital. If we don't have a correct view of who Jesus is when he returned the second time, bridegroom, king, and judge, we are going to resist him. In many ways, we'll be vulnerable to fear, confusion, offense, compromise, deception, and most importantly, we will resist him. We will resist him. We will. That's why one of the strategies of Satan right now, that's why remember I said, one of the major battlefront at the end of the age is the issue of who is Jesus. One of the strategies of Satan is to bring distortion and confusion about truth of who Jesus is. Well, he doesn't mind that you like Jesus in all kinds of manner, but who is this Jesus according to the scripture? And who is he when he come back again? Yes, he's a bridegroom. He is a king. He is a judge. That will be hot. Many will not be familiar with him. We will resist him and we'll resist him hard. Because if your idea, no, not that he's, no, I say many times, not that he's kind of like trigger happy, you know, shoot anybody, kill whatever, but that when he began to judge nation, later if I have time, run to Isaiah 63, you know, the Bible talks about two versions of Jesus, not that he has split personality, but that there's two inverted comma versions of Jesus. Jesus in white garment. That's why he comes as a redeemer. But Isaiah 60 talks about Jesus as one that wear the red garment, where his garment will be soaked with blood because he just crushed nation as a warring king and a righteous judge. We will resist. And you read Isaiah 63, he was a little bit upset because no one agreed with him. He is looking for someone to lift up his hand, just like Aaron and Hur, right? Okay, not Ben-Hur, okay. Aaron and Hur lift up Moses' hand when Joshua was fighting in a battle at the hill against Amalekite. He's looking for someone to lift up his hand. And then in a way, it's like, it's a picture of interceding, agreeing with God's plan at the end of the age. We will resist him. We will resist him. That's why Satan will bring all kinds of confusion and distortion. That's why I say the most important issue, the most foundational question at the end of the age is, who is Jesus? We will not be able to understand end time properly if we don't know who this Jesus is. Many things will not make sense because why? Why all this shaking? Why all this house of prayer thing? Why we must yearn for Jesus to return? So on and so on. Everything centered around this issue of, who is Jesus? Who is he when he about to return? I tell you, when you understand this, you really understand what the gospel is all about. One of the problems right now is that generally we don't preach the full counsel of the gospel. It's because by and large we stop short at the gospel of grace, which is correct. But if you read Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus did not say that you preach the gospel of grace, and the end shall come, and Jesus will return. No, he said, you shall preach the gospel of the kingdom through all nations, and then the end shall come. You know what's the gospel of the kingdom? Gospel of the kingdom is not just about, if you say the sinner's prayer, you receive Jesus as your Savior, today you die, you go to heaven. No, that's not the gospel of grace. No, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. That's only partially correct. It's called the gospel of grace. Gospel of the kingdom includes grace unto salvation, repentance, and the return of Jesus to establish his kingdom here on earth.